Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so very much for joining us, everybody. It's 2 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center. Thank you for joining us from all around the world. We're very excited to welcome back radiation oncologist Dr. Sophia Edwards-Bennett. We referred to her as Dr. EB, as she's affectionately known, and that's how we'll refer to her during the course of the broadcast. We appreciate everybody from around the world joining us. You know, if you could somehow extract and blend the genetic traits of a top-notch physician and minister, the result would be Dr. Sophia Edwards-Bennett, Dr. EB. She's a radiation oncologist who has received numerous accolades for her work with cancer patients that included appearances in Top Doctor, NBC, and Who's Who, and she's also studied in meritorious facilities such as the New York Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Her honors are significant, but perhaps equally remarkable is her whole person approach to treatment. It is something the doctor likes to call the Ministry of Medicine. We're going to talk a little bit more about this and expand it further as we welcome her back. She's also an ordained mission to edify this wonderful process that she believes in to enlighten and inspire people is incredible. And that is really something that is near and dear to her heart. She reaches her audience through the internet, where she discusses the Big C Reattitudes and even podcasts, too, as well. We'll talk about some of that as well. But let me, we have a lot to talk about today, so let me welcome her back to Close Up Radio exclusively to find out more about some of the amazing things that she's doing. And a very special period in our show is going to be happening during this broadcast that I think will inspire you. So stick with us for the next 30 minutes. You will be inspired. Dr. EB, thank you very much for joining us on the show, and welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Jim, for having me, and I am indeed honored to be speaking with you and certainly reaching our audience. It's quite an honor indeed, and certainly a pleasure.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate that. We discussed so much on the first episode, and we encourage folks to go back and review that episode if they need to. And welcome back. Just to refresh, or for those joining us for the first time today who we welcome to Close Up Radio, you are a renowned radiation oncologist. Tell us, if you can, once again, Doctor, what that role is in actually diagnosing and treating cancer patients.
So that's a very interesting question, and I will try to summarize as much as possible, because that could indeed include a very lengthy discussion. So I will render the adumbrated version. Most of our audience will know about, say, a surgical oncologist or a medical oncologist. The latter actually prescribes chemotherapy or immunotherapy, and that's all systemic treatment, meaning that it goes through the bloodstream and treats every part of the body. However, radiation oncology actually uses radiation, and this is really just high-energy X-rays. A lot of our audience may be familiar with X-rays that we use for, say, even at the dentist, right, or a chest X-ray. Now, that's low-energy X-ray. Radiation is high-energy X-ray that is used to ablate or kill cancer cells. So that's my job. I'm a radiation oncologist. So what I do is I prescribe radiation, high-energy X-rays, and I do that not just diffusely. There is an actual treatment plan that I employ by first, acquiring a CT scan in the treatment position and the patient is immobilized in the area that we plan to treat. So for example, if we're treating the brain, we mobilize the head. If we're treating the breast or the lungs, we mobilize the thorax, that's the chest area, and so on and so forth. So prostate cancer, we mobilize the pelvis, right? And then we acquire a CT scan and we use that CT scan to plan the treatment, because that CT scan is allowing us to visualize these organs, the tumor we plan to treat, the organ that the tumor is developing, but also we visualize the adjacent structures. So the structures or organs adjacent to or close to the site we plan to treat, because we need to deliver the dose accurately, precisely, pinpoint the tumor and protect the adjacent organs. So to do that, we have to first visualize all the organs and the tumor in a three-dimensional structure. And then in that way, we can then plan to deliver the treatment to the tumor and also plan to protect the organs adjacent to the tumor. And so we go through all these reiterations using all these multiple algorithms until we design the optimal plan for the patient. And of course, these are customized plans, right? Because every patient is different and patients present with different size tumors, invading or not invading other structures, et cetera. So it's a very, very complex process, but it is certainly done in such a way that every patient is treated accurately. And indeed, we hope for the optimal treatment outcome. So that's the goal. I hope that explains it in a way that's comprehensive and understandable.
Yes, relatable. And exactly, because I know it can get very technical, but you have a beautiful way of breaking it out for all of us to understand and make it relatable, which oftentimes cannot happen when we are dealing with illness or our family members and loved ones are. Sometimes it's all a blur. So you do a beautiful job of really breaking it out for everybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which is a skill and a talent and a gift, which is why I was excited when they said you were coming back to join me on the show.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Fascinating. Thanks, Jim. I was excited,
really learned
too.
Something. And so inspirational, too. And it's easy to see why you've been awarded and you've received so many accolades and you're beloved in the medical community. Tell us about how they, and I know you're very humble about the awards and the accolades, but how they actually really do lend credibility to this approach that some may find revolutionary.
So the accolades lend credibility to the approach really that I spoke about, right? Because you read all my accolades in the last interview and summarized them this as well at the inception of this interview. And I won't review those. But what I can say is that it actually matters, because I can use that platform to then infuse my approach, because my patients will trust the accolades, the institutions I trained, Ivy League, two Ivy Leagues, and then MSKCC, et cetera, and I gained my PhD prior to that. So I have also research embedded in that experience. So I have the expertise, I believe, with all that training to impart knowledge and also to treat my patients with the best care and obviously with the goal of attaining the best treatment outcome. My approach, though, is not just applying medical information, right? It also includes, as I discussed before, the big C re-attitudes, some of which are hope, you know, identity, reappraisal of life, et cetera. But I also use ministry, right? So the ministry of medicine, when we minister to someone, what we're doing is we're caring and helping. So we minister to the sick, we minister to the grieving, et cetera. And so my approach is not just to treat the body, which, as you stated, I have the expertise to do, but I go beyond that to treat the soul, right? To treat the mind. It's restoration. It's impartation. It's revelation. Because my patients are not just robots. Like, we are not just robots, and no one is. So when we treat the patient at the disease itself, we can't forget what the disease has been caused within their mind, right? So the tumor is treatable with the techniques that we know, level one research, you know, the results from, you know, randomized, double-blinded studies. But how do we treat the tumor that arises from the physical tumor, the tangible tumor? These are the intangible tumors of doubt, right, which causes, it's a hollow of doubt. It's the tumors of fear that paralyzes our patients, right? It's the tumor of anxiety that causes so much restlessness, right? How do we treat those tumors, right, which we can't see? So we have to see what we can't see, right? And we have to hear what our patients do not say. So that goes beyond actual medicine information and its application. So that is what the Big C Reattitudes, that is why that was coined as such, and that is why I've implemented that in my practice. But I've also used other elements that I believe are what I call soul currency, right? So hope, faith. There are other factors that need to be addressed. And it's not just about the patient. It's about their family members, right? Their friends, close ones, because we understand that when a patient is diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, it doesn't just affect the patient, right? There are other factors that are in play, as I mentioned, and then the family members are going through this process too. It's not affecting their bodies, but it's affecting them in ways that need to be addressed. And what's always interesting to me is that some patients present to me and they may not disclose that they're believers or non-believers. As I mentioned in my first interview, I'm a believer. If you read my books, anything on my website, it's very clear, right? What's always interesting to me, though, is that may not be discussed. You know, belief systems are not necessarily discussed in clinic, but when a patient is, say, in the hospital passing, then the chaplain is called or the family is asked if they would like a chaplain. And usually the answer is yes. So if we can include the chaplain and that discussion when a patient is transitioning, now, why can't we include that discussion prior to that? I believe that if we do infuse all of these elements, or what I call soul currency, right, then I think that we can address these issues prior to. We can help not just the patient and the family. We can help those days when those moments of darkness that they're actually not in our clinic, right? Right, then how do they actually get through that, right? In the middle of the night, how do we minister to them? We can minister to them so that they can recall those words of ministry and actually apply that when they're alone, emotionally and physically. So it extends beyond just medicine. And that's my belief.
It does. Yes, it does, because there's a lot involved and so many different people and variables and emotions, and it can be a very emotional time, just even the diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I think that this way that you have it laid out is so beautiful. You refer to your work as, and I love this, and I mentioned it briefly in the introduction, the Ministry of Medicine.
Yeah.
Let's discuss what that means, Doctor.
So the ministry, I think I alluded to that in my my spiel when I probably digressed, but the Ministry of Medicine, it's not, as I
That's
said,
because
it's
you're
not
so passionate about what you do.
thank you. It goes beyond just medicine and its application, right? So when the ministry is about ministering to every aspect of the patient, not just the body, the spirit, the mind, and the soul. And what I have learned from my journey is that the priming of a physician who will then address all those aspects can occur prior to their entry into the field of medicine, or even during their training process. For me, it has been both. I've been primed, as I mentioned in my last show, or maybe on YouTube in my interview with Jack Canfield, or other interviews on RevoxAlive YouTube channel. I have discussed my experience with adversity with my mom dying when I was 13, but she died of lupus, an autoimmune disease, and at the time in that eon/era, and especially in Jamaica, the only known treatment was, of course, steroids, and then of course it affects every organ as time progresses. So she was in and out of the hospital for quite some time, and when before she passed, she was a strong believer as well, and there was so much faith and vision and pearls of wisdom that she espoused throughout her entire journey. And I think that was the seed that was planted within me. And so that was the priming process for me, and that helped. So that was currency for me then, after her passing, to go through life and use those lessons to face the other battles, oppositions, rejections, believe it or not, all of those, with all the accolades you mentioned, there were rejections, there are oppositions, and I was able to get through all of those because of the priming. And that is somewhat akin to the process that I believe my patients have to go through, and their family members. And so that is why the Ministry of Medicine has to transcend just the traditional medicine. That's my belief, because it is more than just the disease. It's a conglomerate of psychological web of anxiety and fear and doubts, and how do we leave the family members? What state do we leave the family members in? And when we cannot treat the cancer, because I actually do not know of any research, any doctor who can actually say unequivocally that there is 100% chance of cure. There is no doctor who can say that. And so then the question is, how do we treat the untreatable? How do we treat the intractable disease? How do we do that? Do we say, okay, well, now that's the end, we can't do more, and phase into hospice? Can we somehow address the underlying tumors that I refer to, not the physical ones, the underlying ones. Can we somehow as physicians address that? And one may say, what about counseling? Yes, there's a role. What about meditation? There is now music therapy, right? And all of those therapies, all of those interventions, they all have their place. So why would it be far-fetched for physicians to include this type of approach in our treatment intervention? Why can't it? I mean, it doesn't really take that much time. I mean, mind you, I take a long time with my patients, sometimes an hour and a half, but the result is so palpable that it's worth the time, right? And some patients do not have time to go to counseling because treatment is in some, most of my patients are undergoing chemotherapy, and this is after surgery, and they're undergoing chemotherapy right. and radiation together because they act synergistically. Now, so why can't we synchronize this approach so that that can be synergistic as well?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Why
said.
Can't we do that? Yes. And I've seen the results, and it does work. It does work. Whether or not there's a post-nominal, we believe in post-nominal letters. We believe if it doesn't
yes.
have a PhD or an MD or a DO attached, that means that it's somehow, if you didn't gain a degree doing it, it doesn't work. But that's the life degree. That's the all the things that we were primed by to help us, to disseminate this information, use our experience to help our patients. That doesn't need a post-nominal. That doesn't need post-nominal letters. It's L-I-F-E, life. That's what we've gained. And compassion, empathy, that's the definition. And that's what
right.
we employ in clinic to help our patients.
In about a minute, we're going to have you share one of your inspirational prose from
you.
Higher Ground. Before we get to that, maybe quickly, congratulations, you're about to publish a book called Path to Soul Immunity, Soul Currency for Life and the Big C with Dr. E.B.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can just briefly skim over the book and where people can get a copy.
So there are two things I'd like to say, given that we only have 2 minutes. I'd like to make it count. One, the book was actually, after I published the Higher Ground chapter in Success as a co-author with Jack Canfield, I was given the permission to publish Higher Ground, that chapter, with a few additional prose as a single book. So that was great. And that was with Nick Nanton and DNA Agency. They actually offered me a book deal to publish The Path to Soul Immunity, Soul Currency for Life, and The Big C with Dr. E.B. And a lot of these prose will be included in the book as well. And I think I discussed soul currency a bit in my previous answers. But also, just one more thing. So this is really, actually really sad. All of the creative designs on my Revoxalife page and also actually my Revoxalife YouTube and podcast, but also the cover of Soul, The Path to Soul Immunity, was designed by my UX designer, who is also my sister-in-law, Kimberly Bennett E.D., Kimberly B.E. Creativity. That's her company name, but she recently passed. She passed on Sunday, actually, thank you, Jim. She battled systemic scleroderma, so it affected multiple organs, and she fought. She really fought. She died at 41, so she was very young. But she designed the cover, so I'll be dedicating that book to her, actually. So, yeah. So DNA Agency, I signed the book deal with DNA Agency, so they will be disseminating the information regarding publishing, et cetera. And I'll probably join you again, of course, with the, you know, at the time of publication. Yeah.
Good. And then we can announce where folks will be able to get a copy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Besides the new book, and congratulations again, this is something really fantastic, a chapter you had in another that was called Higher Ground, and you write snippets of prose. Could you share one of your inspirational pieces of prose with us today in the couple minutes we have left?
So Higher Ground, I actually, because of my sister-in-law's transition, I wanted to share a prose from this, from the new book, actually, The Path to Stolen Unity. I have an interlude and the prose, and I pause a bit. When I've completed, I will let you know by saying this is the end, okay? And
I just want to let the listeners know that if we go past the time a little bit, that the episode is being recorded in its entirety and archived so folks can hear this entire episode again.
Right. And if they would like the words, they can just sign up. They can complete the form on my website, mydrb.com, and I can send them the words as well. Okay. So this is the interlude to the prose Thinking of You. So to convey that it's true, we're thinking of you for cancer patients and loved ones too. This version of Thinking of You is written for you, the cancer patient, and your corner, the other slices of your life's favorite pie, your spouse, significant other, caretakers, friends, colleagues, admirers, and acquaintances. For those who gravitate to this show or prose because of your spouse, family member, or close friend, colleague, acquaintances, or anyone who has been diagnosed with cancer, or maybe the person you're thinking of is a cancer survivor, but you know that every time he or she is scheduled for a follow-up or checkup, whether it's every 3, 4, 6 months, or annually, the psychological cycle of anxiety is evoked. And you find yourself not knowing what to say because whatever you're thinking to convey seems inadequate to allay all the menacing thoughts that plague them on that or any given day. So I composed this insightful prose just for you to curate your thoughts, to assay all the emotions at play, to convey all the thoughts you could not, did not, or may not say. And to you, cancer patients, indeed heroes around the globe, so that you'll see all that we see in you, so that you will know when we say you are indeed remarkable, it's unequivocally true. We are sincerely thinking of you. Now here goes the prose, thinking of you, for cancer patients, from all of us, to all of you. A cliche used almost ubiquitously, a phrase of endearment, sometimes addended goodly, often embossed on greeting cards or memorabilia, with kind thoughts to share, affection, and to evince care, whether ported from a distance or from its origin near. Thinking of you is the quintessence of thoughtful resort, safe and simple, seldom met with retort. But this herein is not just a task effaced with rhetorical mask. It's authentic, it's profound, and it's sincere, breaching the ever-resistant shield of fear, reaching the soul's depth, and what lies beneath to probe. It's all within this insightful prose for cancer patients around the globe. This is the principle of how, the characterization of what and the momentous clarity of when we think of you. Admittedly, an incomplete summation of our approbation, limited by the finite descriptors that any language could afford, nonetheless parenthesized by our perceptional accord. Your thoughts of the future clouded with uncertainty, misted with its inherent unpredictability, entangled with a panoply of smears and restless tears, yet despite the pain, frustration, doubts, and fear, life you so bravely dare, gloriously proclaiming, I am still here. And though you may have thoughts of giving up, oftentimes without bluff, self-martyred by your inner dissonance, dissensions, and disdain, threatening the future for which you were ordained. But these psychological dents do not negate your strength, and scars born from the deep wounds of emotional solitude could never alter or preclude your incredible fortitude. But in fact, they are authenticate your exceptional capacity to rebound on the rim of fate with such tenacity. Indeed, a remarkable attribute, might I say, that's just one of your many irrefutable truths. So whenever you're harboring doubts of uncertainty or find yourself teetering on the ledge of negativity, or when your inner voice declines admiration so adamantly, just remember your loved ones, family, physician-derived consensus. You are a flagship emblem of our earthly human nexus, sailing through life's raging seas, though petulant and tempestuous. A pioneer of undeniable courage, strength, and indubitable resilience. Yes, that's you. That's the you we see, as clear as can be. However, whatever, and whenever we're thinking of you, and if you take a good, long, thoughtful look at yourself, that true version of you, you will see it too. That's the end.
Beautifully said. That is absolutely beautiful and very inspiring. Really.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to share that with us on the show. And I encourage folks to want to learn more about the doctor, and again, we'll have her back, and we wish her congratulations on the book. You can visit her website, www.my, that's M-Y, Dr. E-B, that's the letter E, the letter B, .com, or watch one of her podcasts. She also has the YouTube channel, too, and that's www.youtube.com/C/ Revoxy Life, REVOXYLIFE. And again, keep an eye out for the book, Path to the Soul Immunity, Soul Currency for Life, and The Big C with Dr. E.B. coming out soon. Dr. E.B., thanks for sharing this time with us. It's always inspiring when we get a chance to chat with you, and I wish you all the continued best blessings and joys, and look forward to chatting with you again real soon on Close Up Radio. Thanks for joining us today and gracing us with your presence.
Thank you, Jim, for having me. And to our audience, thank you as well. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Absolutely. Always is with you as well, Doctor. Keep doing the beautiful work that you're doing. It is really amazing. She is amazing, isn't she, gang? Absolutely. Radiation oncologist and author, Dr. Sophia Edwards-Bennett, known as Dr. E.B. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, again, this entire episode has been recorded in its entirety. So if you'd like to hear it again or share it with somebody, feel free to do that. It's in our archives. For all of us here, thanks for being with us. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing episode and guest right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.